Under this first point of God's perfect love, I want to give you three irrefutable reasons for believing that God loves you. And I want you to jot these down. I'm going to ask them back to you in just for a moment. Three irrefutable reasons to believe that God loves you. It doesn't make any difference what's going on in your life, what somebody says, what they accuse you of, or what they may be going on. You know that God loves you. There are three reasons I want to give you here. The first one is this, and that is character love. It is the very nature and character of God to love. For example, if you turn to 1 John chapter 4, for example, the Bible says in verse 8 that God is love, which means that it is His attribute, it is His character, it is His very nature to love. And also, listen carefully, if you'll turn to the first chapter and look at the 5th verse, the Bible says that God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all, which in essence means this: there is no sin and nothing unholy and unrighteous and imperfect in God. Now think about this. If God is absolutely holy, which means He is absolutely perfect and nothing wrong about God, then if He is a God who is also a God of love, then He could not in any way, in any circumstance, mistreat one of His children. That is, God is a God of holiness, absolutely perfect. He can do no wrong. He is a God of love, which means that His love is complete and it's perfect, and that He will always do what is good and loving in your life and mine. Now, I want you to turn back, if you will, to the 145th Psalm. And there are many, many Psalms we could turn to. But let's turn to this 145th Psalm for a moment and listen to the psalmist as he talks about God's love and goodness toward us. He says, beginning in verse 7, Psalm 145. Verse 7 says, "They shall eagerly utter the memory of thine abundant goodness," speaking of God, "and shout joyfully of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all." Look at these. Abundant goodness, gracious mercy, great in loving kindness. The Lord is good to all. And the Lord is indeed good to all of us. That is, listen to this. It is absolutely impossible by His very nature that God would ever do anything in your life and my life that is not good. He may allow some things to happen to us that we think are not good. He may allow all kinds of difficulty and hardship and abuse and troubles and trials. But you know what? Because He is an absolute sovereign God that He is, He is by nature a good God. And though I don't understand some things He allows, though I can't figure them out, that does not mean that He is not a good God. And so when the Bible says that He is a God of goodness and loving kindness and all these things we've described here, it is a very essential part of His nature. So character, that is character love, it's His very nature to love. It is His attribute, absolute, perfect love. That love cannot be tampered with. It is unconditional, cannot be changed. It is an irrefutable attribute of Almighty God. Character love. The second love is Calvary love. What am I talking about? I'm talking about this. I'm talking about the love that God has demonstrated to mankind at the cross. When God the Father sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, into the world, He sent Him into the world to die on the cross. Why did He die? He died to meet a need no one can meet for themselves and no one can meet for someone else. Our need was that we needed to be forgiven, we needed to be translated, we needed to be snatched from the penalty of our sin. The Bible says we were dead in trespasses and sin. The Bible says that we were in a dominion of darkness. The Bible says, like in Ezekiel, that we were like dry bones in a valley. There was no life. When Jesus Christ came into your life and mine, He came because of His work at Calvary. Now think about this. Calvary is, listen, is the absolute irrefutable evidence of God's unconditional love for mankind. There's not anything God could ever have done to more greatly demonstrate His love for you and me than that. He says He came into the world that you and I might not be condemned, but that we might be saved. He would have saved any one of us. He can save everyone. And He would have come if it had been only one person. He came to save the entire world, every single human being on the face of this earth. That is, He came as an expression of the awesome, listen, fathomless, immeasurable, infinite love of Almighty God, Calvary love. Now think about this. If God the Father loved us so much that He would save us from our sins by giving His Son Jesus at Calvary, listen, anything else I've ever asked Him for in my life, anything that you will ever ask Him for as long as you live. You will never ask God for anything that will demand even anywhere close to as much love as He has already expressed to you in the cross of Calvary. When He has expressed that kind of love, sacrificial love, the love of the gift of His own Son, you and I can't even think about anything that would require of God a greater expression of His love than what He did at Calvary. Therefore, if He has already given me His very best, anything else that I ask for, anything else that comes my way is less than that. How could I ever doubt the love of God? How could I question the kind of love that comes from a Father who is willing to give His only begotten Son to die at Calvary? And remember that Jesus Christ was not only God, but He was God-man. He suffered like any other man would suffer, only worse than they would suffer, because He knew what it meant to be separated from the Father and to bear the weight of all the sin of the world upon Him at Calvary. If you question God's love, look at the cross. Now reason it this way. If He has given His best, if He has demonstrated His awesome love at Calvary, can I not expect Him to take care of other little things in my life? Will He not deal with these little things in my life that I have a problem dealing with? Is He not expressing His love in the little things if He would express it in something so great and grand as that? Turn, if you will, to a passage here that I think will probably express that as much as anything. Turn to Romans 8:32 for a moment, because this is exactly what Paul says in his own words. In this wonderful, wonderful 8th chapter of the book of Romans, one of the most helpful and encouraging in all the Scriptures, here's what he says, Romans 8:33. I'm going to give you time to find it. 32nd verse says, "He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not also with Him freely give us," what? "All things." Paul says, look, listen, he says, you don't have to worry about your needs. You don't have to worry about your provision, your protection. You don't have to worry about anything in life. Look what He's already done. If He gave His only begotten Son, if He's already done that, you don't have to worry about what else He's going to do, because everything else He will do will require less of Almighty God than that. So first of all, we said the first reason for believing His love is what? Character love. Now let's say that loud so I can hear it. Say it. Character love. It's His nature to do so. The second one is what? Calvary love, the work of Christ at the cross. The third one is covenant love. And that is, if you'll turn to the 8th chapter of Hebrews for a moment. In the 8th chapter of Hebrews, he describes here what He's done for us. And by covenant love, I mean that He's covenanted to make us His children. And that's why he says, "My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not." And he talks about us being children of God. We're in the family of God. And the 8th chapter of Hebrews in the 10th verse says, "For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. In those days, says the Lord, I will put my laws into their minds. I will write them upon their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people." And so all of us know that once we trusted Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we became children of God. And we are looked upon as children, and that's why He is patient and loving and kind to us, for the simple reason that He knows that you and I are children learning to live in this life. So when you think about the fact that God loves us perfectly and that His love is not only perfect, but His love, listen, every single thing He does in your life, allows in my life, all of these things are expressions of His love. I don't understand what you said, but I'm coming to that. But they're expressions of His love.